Oh, hurry up, Ron moaned, massaging his stomach. Now, Ron, the sorting's much more important than food, said nearly headless Nick, as madly Laura became a Hufflepuff. Course it is, if you're dead, snapped Ron. I do hope this year's batch of Gryffindors are up to scratch, said nearly headless Nick, applauding as MacDonald Natalie joined the Gryffindor table. We don't want to break our winning streak, do we? Gryffindor had won the Interhouse Championship for the last 3 years in a row. Pritchard, Graham, Slytherin, Quirk, Aula, Ravenclaw. And finally with Whitby, Kevin, Hufflepuff, the sorting ended. Professor McGonagall picked up the hat and the stool and carried them away. About time, said Ron, seizing his knife and fork and looking expectantly at his golden plate. Professor Dumbledore had gotten to his feet. He was smiling around at the students, his arms opened wide in welcome. I have only 2 words to say to you, he told them, his deep voice echoing around the hall. Tuck in. Hear, hear, said Harry and Ron loudly as the empty dishes filled magically before their eyes. Nearly headless Nick watched mournfully as Harry, Ron, and Hermione loaded their own plates.
Ah, that's better,
said Ron, with his mouth full of mashed potato.
You're lucky there's a feast at all tonight, you know, said nearly headless Nick. There was trouble in the kitchens earlier.
Why? What happened? Said Harry through a sizable chunk of steak.
Peeves, of course, said nearly headless Nick, shaking his head, which wobbled dangerously. He pulled his ruff a little higher up on his neck. The usual argument, you know. He wanted to attend the feast. Well, it's quite out of the question. You know what he's like. Utterly uncivilized. Can't see a plate of food without throwing it. We held a ghost's council. The fat friar was all for giving him the chance. But, most wisely in my opinion, the bloody baron put his foot down.
The bloody baron was the Slytherin ghost, a gaunt and silent spectre covered in silver bloodstains. He was the only person at Hogwarts who could really control Peeves.
Yeah, we thought Peeves seemed hacked off about something, said Ron darkly. So, what did he do in the kitchens?
Oh, the usual, said nearly headless Nick, shrugging. Wreaked havoc and mayhem, pots and pans everywhere, place swimming in soup, terrified the house elves out of their wits.
Clang! Hermione had knocked over her golden goblet. Pumpkin juice spread steadily over the tablecloth, staining several feet of white linen orange, but Hermione paid no attention.
There are house elves here?
She said, staring, horror-struck at nearly headless Nick.
Here? At Hogwarts?
Certainly, said nearly headless Nick,
looking surprised at her reaction.
The largest number in any dwelling in Britain, I believe. Over 100.
I've never seen one, said Hermione.
Well, they hardly ever leave the kitchen by day, do they? Said nearly headless Nick. They come out at night to do a bit of cleaning. See to the fires and so on. I mean, you're not supposed to see them, are you? That's the mark of a good house elf, isn't it? That you don't know it's there.
Hermione stared at him.
But they get paid, she said. They get holidays, don't they? And sick leave, and pensions, and everything.
Nearly headless Nick chortled so much that his ruff slipped and his head flopped off, dangling on the inch or so of ghostly skin and muscle that still attached it to his neck.
Sick leave and pensions? He said, pushing his head back onto his shoulders and securing it once more with his ruff. House elves don't want sick leave and pensions.
Hermione looked down at her hardly touched plate of food, then put her knife and fork down upon it and pushed it away from her.
Oh, come on, Hermione, said Ron, accidentally spraying Harry with bits of Yorkshire pudding.
Whoops, sorry, Harry. He swallowed.
You won't get them sick leave by starving yourself. Slave labour, said Hermione, breathing hard through her nose. That's what made this dinner. Slave labour.
And she refused to eat another bite.